Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm so glad that you have joined us here today for our service, and know that we are all so grateful that you're here. Our hearts connect with yours, and so glad that you've come to share your Sunday morning with us. And so, I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. We're going to begin by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. So if you'll join me in that. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's really what we are up to here at Living Beyond Limits, as we are giving ourselves the opportunity to discover that infinite presence that is everywhere present, to discover that presence that resides within our hearts, that resides at the very center of our being, that is none other than the expression of the infinite itself, none other than the expression of the love of the cosmos, the truth of wholeness and peace and abundance and good. Because what happens when we discover that that is our own divine nature, that that is inherent to our being, that then when we are out in the world and the world does not reflect back to us, say, love or peace, we can turn within and find that within us, because that is part of our divine nature, and therefore it never changes. It's never gone. It's never depleted. That love and peace and wholeness and our authentic power are always present within us. And so as we discover that within us, then when we go out into the world, we go out into the world differently. We go out into the world kinder and more loving and more generous and more open. And we act as a beneficial presence in the world, for a world that you all know right now is hungry for that care and compassion and kindness. And so I thank each and every single one of you for saying yes to the call of your own spirit as you walk this path, as you bring that presence of the divine into this world in a way that benefits you and that benefits everyone. So thank you for that. And so on podium with me this morning is our practitioner, David Conant. He's going to lead us in an evocation as we evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is always right where we are. And Margaret Owens is here today with us. Yay. She's going to lead us in singing the prayer chant, I Open Up, that will be on the wall. And that will lead us into that invocation, help us slow down a little bit and get centered. So I invite you to just kind of turn within and to find that place of just beingness within you. That which is changeless and eternal and none other than your own soul.
I open my mind and heart to the one source, and as I do, the presence and power of the divine becomes a reality in my life. This is a very powerful force and a source for good. But interestingly, it takes very little effort to use it for good in our lives. It always follows the directions of our thoughts. In life, We are the creators. We use our oneness with the creative intelligence as the substance of all that we create in our lives and everything that we do. There is a divine pattern in all of life. Its source is pure spirit, and it is present here today as living beyond limits. It is also present here today with each one of us, because we are spiritual beings. Today, I bless Reverend Jennifer for affirming our oneness with God. I bless Ray as he blesses our service each Sunday. I bless Margaret and the joy she brings to each one of us. I bless all spiritual paths, and I know that all these paths will become one. I bless everyone here. I bless this facility, and I bless this service. And so it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading today is from Living the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, and it's from a chapter on how to build your tomorrow today. Life is an adventure in which we never know what is going to happen just beyond the turn of the road. Therefore, today is the only day in which we live, and yesterday has forever passed. The change that we need to make within ourselves must be made today. And so, we have to live each day as though it were complete and perfect within itself. If we make every day a day of praise and thanksgiving, a day in which we recognize the divine bounty and the eternal goodness, and we live today as though God were the only presence and the only power there is, we would not have to worry about tomorrow. So today is the time in which we cut loose from previous experiences and create a new starting point for our new tomorrows, which is at the center of our own being. When we awaken to the divine within us, it will reach out and embrace everything around us, and we will discover the divine presence in people and in events and in all of nature. Divine life is in everyone and in everything. And so it is.
Screaming on the front porch this morning, shouting in that old familiar way. How she ever took him back since the last time is beyond me, and there's nothing that I can do or say. Who knows what goes on behind closed doors? Lord knows what the children see and hear. The hand that I offer's been shunned, I understand, and my only course of action's becoming very clear. I just gotta shine my light right there, right now, and trust that God is there somehow. Whether I can see your works or feel your grace and know your face to drag me under with the heartache and fear that it feeds. And all the gossip around the office think they'd poison the water. Seems contempt is becoming a need. Now it's easier to see where they need correcting than search my soul and see just what I'm reflecting. I just gotta shine my light right there, right now, and trust that God is there somehow. Whether I can see your works or feel your grace, I know your face is there. High above the mountains and the oceans, I will soar to this vision that I hold for peace. Rains down forevermore. I just gotta shine my light right there, right now, and trust that.
Fabulous. So I'm actually going to start today's talk with a story. It is from Daily Dose of Sanity by Alan Cohen. He says, one evening I attended a screening of some video clips of paranormal phenomena. One of the more humorous segments depicted the, quote, magnetic family in the Philippines. A family whose bodies, for some unknown reason, are magnetized to such a high degree that metal objects hold fast to their skin. The audience gasped and laughed as they to see paper clips, forks, and even a steam iron stuck to these people by sheer magnetic force. After the presentation, the organizer introduced me to the group, and as a joke, I called myself, quote, the magnetic man of Maui. Minutes later, as I was socializing, a 7-year-old girl approached me with several other children. The girl took a quarter from her hand and pressed it into my bare arm. When the coin fell to the ground, she frowned and looked up and exclaimed, I thought you said you were magnetic. I laughed, but then I realized that the child was serious. She really thought I was magnetic. With that came a striking realization. An innocent mind is open to all possibility. We have been told that to get into heaven, we must become like little children. That applies not to heaven after death, but to heaven here on earth. Your problem is not that you know too little. Your problem is that you know too much about why things cannot and will not work. You know too much about disease and economics, war and bad relationships. You know too much about history and statistics and crime. You know too much about conniving business people, corrupt cops, and underhanded politicians. Not to say that these things do not happen, but you are simply too aware of all these things that are not working, which stifles your awareness of how good things can be and how things do work. Let us become more magnetic in our expectations of good things. It might just stick. I think it's my...
think that's it.
Can you hear me now? Ray has to turn me on. And so the title of my talk today is, What Are You Looking At? And that's my question to you. What are you looking at? Are you looking at what you want, or are you looking at what you don't want? You know, I know that we all want to be successful. We want to be successful in our relationships, and we want to be successful in our work, and we want to be successful in whatever the undertakings are that we do in our lives. I know that we also want to live in abundance and with abundance, an abundance of love and an abundance of friends, an abundance of opportunities and financial good, an opportunity of health and of peace, and an abundance of free time. The problem is, like he said in that story, not only do we know too much about why things will not or cannot work, but we also get focused solely on the surface of what's going on. We focus solely on what is happening at the surface in our lives and in the world. And then when we're focused only on what's happening in the surface, we get angry and we get frustrated and we feel deflated sometimes, and sometimes we feel helpless. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, in his book, This Thing Called You, said, "Peace comes from a sense of union with the whole. Confusion comes from a sense of separation. Confusion comes because you are only looking at the surface." When we're only looking at the surface, we only see part of the picture and things seem distorted. It's kind of like if you take a stick and you put it in a pool of water, and then you disturb the surface, and it appears like the stick is bent. But if you put your head under the water and open your eyes and look up, you will see that the stick is actually straight. It's an optical illusion. The fact that the stick looks bent is an illusion. It's not reality. So the problem is, then, we think what's happening in the world has to be changed at the level of form. We think that we have to go and straighten that stick to make things okay. And certainly, if we have to fix everything at the level of form, at the level of effect, at the material, in the material world, we don't have time to fix everything, nor do we have the know-how to fix everything. We don't have the know-how to fix what's happening in the Ukraine. We don't have the know-how to fix what's happening with women's rights. We don't have the know-how to fix what's happening with human rights. We forget that changing our thinking can change our life. That changing our thinking changes what is happening around us. We forget that changing our consciousness, our attitudes and our beliefs and our focus actually creates a new effect. It sets a new cause in motion, which creates something different in the world. And so, like I said, the title of my talk is, What Are You Looking For? And I'm talking about that oftentimes we get stuck looking at the surface, stuck at what is happening in our individual lives on the surface, what is happening in the world on the surface. But our power, and our power to change things, comes from looking at the spiritual truth that is within and behind whatever it is that's happening in the world. Because looking at the spiritual truth and focusing on that creates an opening within us, within our minds, and therefore within consciousness. Ernest Holmes says there is only one mind. In today's vernacular, it would be, there is only consciousness itself that permeates everything. When we create an opening in our mind, we create an opening in that consciousness for something new. We create space in our thinking so that something new can come into form in this material world. The truth is, Spirit in its fullness, in its allness, is everywhere present. In every single situation, in every single moment, in every single thing. And we create that opening within ourselves so that it might flow forward in a greater way. It's kind of like electricity. You know, electricity is present. In fact, electricity has always been present. But if you have an appliance and you want to use that appliance, you have to actually plug the appliance in so that that appliance will be animated, so that it will be filled with the electricity, so the electricity can flow through it, so that it can do its job, so that it can work, so that it can function. So it takes plugging in that appliance so that it'll work. You have to actually plug in the mixer before you can make the cake. You have to actually plug in the fan before it can cool the room. You have to plug in the iron before you can get the wrinkles out of your clothes. You have to plug in the lamp so that you can see in the darkness. But it takes plugging it in first. Electricity can't work without plugging into it first. In this thing called you, Ernest Holmes says, you do not pray this power into existence. Your use of it is not a prayer to the power. Instead, it is a recognition of it. We are recognizing that it is already present. That means that you recognize that the peace that God is, the principle of peace, is already present in the Ukraine. Everywhere present. You recognize that the wisdom and the intelligence of the universe, that which everything has been created out of, already exists in the politicians. All of them. It means that you recognize that abundance is the very nature of life. Even where there seems to be lack, that balance and order and wholeness are the principles upon which life is built. And that wholeness, that order, that balance is present in our bodies. It's present in our lives. That divine pattern of human being is present in your body now. And it knows how to orchestrate every function, every action, everything in your body. Ernest Holmes tells us that all your faith does is form a mold through which the infinite power may take temporary form. You're just creating a mold so that that which already is can come into form. So I'd like to share another story with you. This is also by Alan Cohen. He says, my friends Jack and Kendra had a beautiful baby girl named Karen who was born with a club foot, which twisted inward at more than a right angle to her leg. When Karen was 3 months old, her doctor told her parents that the condition was correctable, but the girl would have to wear a cast on her foot and then to be recast every 2 weeks until the age of 6 months old. Eventually, the cast would give way to a brace that the child would start to wear and should wear until she was 5 or 6 years old, at which point her foot would be straightened out. Although Jack and Kendra did not look forward to the rigorous and potentially distressful therapy plan, they reasoned that it was necessary for the condition to be ameliorated and planned to go through with it. Around that time, Karen's sister happened to sit on an airplane flight next to a man from Guatemala who claimed to be a healer. She invited the man to her home for a social occasion that Jack and Kendra attended along with little Karen. At one point during the evening, Kendra thought it might be helpful to ask the healer to have a look at Karen, and he did. He placed his hands on the affected foot, closed his eyes, and prayed for about a minute. A few days later, the couple brought their daughter in for a casting, and the girl was taken in for x-rays. Afterward, the doctor had an animated discussion with the parents for about 45 minutes. Then one doctor came in and told the family, "There's nothing at all wrong with your daughter's foot. We must have made a misdiagnosis." Jack and Kendra were quite sure that there had not been a misdiagnosis. They had seen and lived with their daughter's malformation on a daily basis. Now it was not there at all, and it has not returned for 21 years. Karen is happy, healthy, and a beautiful young adult. Miracles are possible. Prayer works. Well-being is God's will for you. Ernest Holmes tells us, the will of God for you is boundless life. It is well-being, joy, success, happiness, peace, and abundance. That is God's will for each and every single one of us. So what if it really only took moving beyond a shadow of a doubt that peace already is omnipresent? What if it took only moving beyond a shadow of a doubt that the absolute intelligence and wisdom of the cosmos was active and happening and expressing itself in the politicians, everywhere present, in the decision makers? What if it only took moving beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowing that abundance is the nature of life, and that it's the nature of your life, and there is no withholding from the universe, it only expresses? What if it took only knowing that wholeness is the truth, and it's the only thing that exists? That anything else other than wholeness is simply an incomplete perception. Ernest Holmes says, by way of illustration, imagine yourself looking at a picture of a beautiful landscape. In this picture, there are trees, a house, a stream of water, a beautiful meadow, and a background mountain with a blue sky dotted with clouds. You look at it long, contemplating its beauty. Now, suppose that you put a wavy piece of glass between you and the picture so that the picture appears blurred. Everything seems distorted, and yet nothing has happened to the picture. It is your business to remove the wavy glass, because the picture is still on the wall. It may be seen. Neither affirmations, denials, nor statements create the pattern of perfection, nor do they change it. They merely rearrange your thinking. If you could rearrange your thinking instantly, you would have instantaneous results. If it takes time, do not become discouraged, for you are working with a definite principle that cannot fail. All you're doing is getting your distorted thinking out of the way. All you're doing is getting your unbelief out of the way so that which is the truth, capital T truth, can take form. That's all we're doing when we do affirmations and affirmative prayer and meditation, the spiritual tools that we have. So we use the tools in our toolbox. We use affirmations so that it changes our thinking from limited and stuck thinking to the possibility of something greater. It expands our possibilities. We use meditation so that we can take time to emotionally detach from our reactions from what is happening in the world, from what we think about as what is happening in the world, and the repetitive thoughts about all of that, so that we create space for something new to rise up in our thinking, a new thought. We use mindfulness so that we notice when we have stinking thinking, and we can choose a different thought. And we use affirmative prayer to help us recognize that there is so much more than what we see on the surface. And it takes time. It takes time to change your thinking. You know, there's a saying in Science of Mind that says, change your thinking, change your life. Today, we would actually talk about that as creating new neural pathways in your brain. That's what we're doing. By those affirmations and those affirmative prayers, we're changing the neural pathways in our brain. But until those neural pathways are solid and strong, we fall back into the old ones. It's kind of like a record. You fall back into those grooves and it keeps playing the same old song again. So we keep practicing. We keep using the affirmations and we keep doing the affirmative prayer. And we keep meditating to open to something more. And as we do that, those neural pathways become stronger and stronger and more solid until that becomes our new way of thinking. And as that becomes our new way of thinking, we create an opening for something new to come into our lives. Because our life mirrors our most deeply held beliefs. It mirrors our subconscious mind. It doesn't mirror your conscious thinking. It doesn't mirror every single thing you say, but it mirrors what is held back in here. That's what the affirmations change. That's what the affirmative prayer changes, your subconscious beliefs. Over time, our beliefs change, and then our expectations change. And then we manifest something that's in alignment with those new beliefs. And so my invitation to you this week is when things of the world or things in your own life seem upsetting, use those tools in your spiritual toolbox to take you deeper than the surface, to take you deeper into your own spiritual practice, into your own spiritual knowing, take you deeper into your faith. And let those things that are disturbing in the world be cause to take you deeper, to take you to a deeper truth about yourself, about your life, and about the world. Let those disturbing things be a prayer request from your own soul. A prayer request to commune with that one infinite, all-knowing good of the universe so that it might be able to express itself through you more easily. And to ask yourself, what am I looking at? Is what I'm looking at taking me where I want to go? And plug in your mixer, plug in your fan, plug in your iron, plug in your lamp so that you might see in the darkness for your own self. And as a result, we will each be creating the world that we want to live in. And so again, thank you so much for answering this call of your own spirit to be being a beneficial presence, to be being the light and the love and the goodness of the divine, and to bring that into this world. Thank you to each and every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. How good it is just to be in recognition of the truth, to be in recognition of this omnipresence of that one, but one that has brought this entire world into form by its own self-recognition, by recognizing that indeed it is love and peace and balance and order and wholeness and harmony and love. How good it is to recognize that that presence is everywhere present, in and throughout all time and all space, in every moment, in every situation, in every experience, is the fullness of that infinite one. And so I recognize not only is that presence where we are, but it is actually what we are. For we have come here as an expression of the divine, as an individuation of that one. And so today we step out of our smallness. We step out of any past limited thinking. We step out of anything that has been keeping us stuck. For in reality, there is nothing to hold any of that in place. For all there is a power for good. And so we are living this life of God, this life of the divine, which is the good itself unfolding. And so I know that whatever it is that calls to our hearts is none other than a call from that divine presence to recognize it and to be it and to give way to it, to love and to peace, to unity and oneness, to compassion and kindness, to wisdom and intelligence. And so I also claim right now that anywhere in this world where there seems to be war, where there seems to be disagreement, where there seems to be lack of understanding, that divine love intelligence is active right there. And it is unfolding itself within and through each and every person that is involved. I recognize that the peace that God is right now is present everywhere where there seems to be a lack of peace. And as we open our minds and our hearts to this presence, we create space for it to come into this world. And for peace is right there, right now. I speak this word about wholeness and harmony and balance, knowing that is expressing itself in our political systems in this country, expressing itself in our bodies, expressing in our lives. And so today we just put our attention there and we rest in this truth, allowing it to be our truth, and hence our reality. And so I release this word into that creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself, and how grateful I am for that. And so I release this word in gratitude, and I say, and so it is.
Disguise, I've seen your face a million times, and I can see what you do to me. You're big, you are frightening, and you seem so insurmountable. But I know the gods residing right here where I stand, and if I look another way at the Goliath of today, I know the smallest stone will surely bring it down. And with a grain of clarity, I shine the light on the dark I see. circumstance who I really am. It knows the highest truth, and rather than go raving wild, I come before you like a child and let you show me just
now time for our affirmation, so if you would join me as we read this together. Today
I look beyond the surface appearance to the spiritual truth that is ever present. As I recognize the infinite all good, I deepen my faith and create space for good to come into form. And so it is. So I actually just have a couple of invitations for you. One is we have sign-up sheets in the back. If you would like to bring coffee on a Sunday, what we do is we are having a thermos and all the cups and sugar and coffee itself. Actually, you take it home and you make coffee and bring a pot of coffee. So if you'd like to sign up for that, we'd love to have you do that. We are having people sign up for greeters and to help us set up before service. If you want to come, you can come. We show up at 8:45 and set the room up. You can help us do that. Or you could show up at 9:30 and just set the chairs up. So they'll be down, but we just kind of rearrange them so we give everybody a little bit of space. Also to mark your calendars that on June 5th we are having an outdoor service because they will be voting in here. So we also are going to have a picnic that day. So if you want to bring a picnic lunch for yourself and if you want to bring something to share, that's wonderful too. If you want to bring games to play, but we'll be having a picnic on the 5th. Our Sunday talks are available on our website. I'm also asking you, they get posted on Facebook also Monday, to go on Facebook and share them, to go on Facebook and like them. That's word of mouth today is doing media like that, social media. So to go and like and share our talks on Facebook and to know that our practitioners are available after service for prayer. If you're a practitioner, will you raise your hand? Available for prayer, we have a ministry of prayer box in the back if you'd like to fill out a prayer request. We will support you during the week. And we have prayer shawls back there if you'd like to be wrapped in that energy of prayer or gift one to someone. The practitioners are happy to pray over that before you go, and you can take that with you. And also that our wonderful musician Margaret has music. You can take her home with you to listen. And she has lots of really pretty jewelry that she's made back there, too, if you're shopping. And so the last invitation is to stand, and we're going to sing,
I Release.